Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side.
Thank you, Solo D. Welcome to another episode of On the Fin Side here with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Brian Kat NFL on Twitter. Paul is fanatic underscore pick. The Dolphins travel to Arizona this weekend to take on the 5-2 Cardinals in a matchup. It's a very big game for both teams, two very hot teams who haven't lost in the last month. The Cardinals have won three in a row. The Dolphins have won three in a row. And when you look at Arizona on offense, they've scored over 30 points a game in each of their last three contests. Obviously headlined by Kyler Murray, who is making an early season run as an MVP candidate here in the NFL. So joining us here today, we've got Scott Allen from the Fansided Network, and he represents the Raising Zona website there for Fansided. You can also follow him at AZ Sports Guy. Scott, thanks for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So, you know, I got to be honest with you with Arizona here. I was a little bit skeptical back in 2019 when they hired Cliff Kingsbury, very simply because he coached 6 years for Texas Tech. I think he was below 500 in four of his last 5 years. Then they draft this small quarterback out of Oklahoma with the first overall pick. But boy, was I wrong on that. I mean, really through the first seven games of the year, Kyler Murray's just completely balling out.
Yeah, you know, I was skeptical at first, both with the Kingsbury hire and the pick for Murray. You know, the Kingsbury hire was an interesting one at the time that it happened. And the same argument you just made is basically an argument that some people are still trying to make. But look, you know, they're different games. The college game is different. The Big 12 game is much different. I wasn't sure it was going to translate here, but. And he still makes questionable decisions at times, but the thing that I think that endears him to most fans is that he owns up to his mistakes. He knows when he's made them. He's honest. He doesn't beat around the bush. So I appreciate that. And he learns. He seems to be learning from his mistakes. As far as Murray goes, I mean, I was pretty adamant that he wasn't even going to be taken. You know. And now people say, oh, yeah, I knew all along they were going to take him. Well, I didn't. I mean, I was thinking they were going to go either Bosa or Quinnen Williams at that point. But they didn't. And especially since they were only a year into the Josh Rosen project. And I wouldn't even consider him a project. He kind of just got thrown to the wolves because of a poor offense that they had. So, you know, it's worked out, obviously, at this point. You know, Murray is also one that's been learning from his mistakes. And, you know, right now he's got 13 touchdowns, seven interceptions, but he got three of them were against Detroit and one of their only two losses. And you know, a couple of those haven't been his fault. You know, the balls are getting tipped. He has the batted balls do seem to be down a little bit, but I mean, he made some questionable decisions early on, but I think that's part of the reason for the three-game win streak. I mean, he's learning how to not make mistakes, and he's winning the game both in the air and on the ground.
You bet. And like you said, on the ground, he has 437 rushing yards this year. And you translate that 437 rushing yards in seven games over 16 games, you're talking about 1,000-yard season on the ground from a quarterback. I mean, so he's certainly playing great football. Yeah, I'm curious as far as defending him. You know, the Dolphins have a lot of size on their defensive line with Zach Sealer and Raekwon Davis at 6'7", Emmanuel Agba at 6'5", who's who's on fire right now. You know, obviously, you know, elephant in the room, Kyler Murray's, you know, he's 5'10". He's very much on the small side, probably the shortest quarterback in the league, but playing at a very high level. Do you ever see that height become a disadvantage throughout the games that you've seen?
I think going back to what I was just talking about, I think the biggest disadvantage is that he has a tendency maybe to his trajectory on his throws a little bit lower, and it can lead to some batted balls. But even that seemed to be more of a problem last year, and it's happened a few times this year, but it hasn't happened a lot. I think more so than not, it's just Murray hasn't, you know, when he's missed, it's been because of him, not because of a ball being batted down. But his accuracy has been strong this year. So, I mean, I don't know what the exact number is, but I know it's in the 60s at this point. And, you know, so there's really not a big issue there. I think that's the biggest disadvantage. Obviously his size and his quickness, you know, gets him to where he wants to be. Most of the time he's been avoiding sacks. He took some bad sacks last year. He hasn't really done that this year. He's only been sacked 9 times, which is the second lowest in the NFL now at this point. So I can imagine, you know, for most NFL defenses, it's hard to plan for him because he's got that threat of running, which, by the way, he's honestly not a big fan of. He said it himself. He'd rather stick in the pocket and throw the ball. But they do design several runs for him a game. And then a lot of the times, certainly he's improvising, you know, when either pass protection starts to break down or players are covered down the field, receivers are covered down the field, he'll take off. But they design runs for him, even though it's not his favorite thing to do.
And from what I've seen of him, he has a lot of respect for protecting his body too. And that's something that at a young age, a quarterback tends to not want to do a whole heck of a lot, or at least from what I've seen on there. So that's very admirable for somebody. I'm a big fan of Kyler Murray. Not this week. I want him to play terrible this week, but yeah, I am a big fan. One player, obviously, that has a lot of history in Miami, Kenyon Drake, was traded from the Dolphins to the Cardinals for very little last year. I believe it was a 5th-round pick. What is the feeling there in Arizona on Kenyon Drake here a year later? I know he's questionable for this game.
Yeah, you know, well, if you ask Cardinals fans the first 4 weeks, and even I made, you know, some, you know, comments questioning, you know, what he was doing out there. You know, at times early on, it looked like he was moving more horizontally than vertically, and he was just he was going more east-west than he was north-south, and he's got to get he was doing a lot of sideways running and getting nowhere with it. He was doing a lot of running but not going nowhere, you know. And and not only Cardinals fans recognized it, this was just before he talked about this after the Dallas game a couple of weeks ago. But before that game, during that week, he got a call from his mom, and his mom told him, "Hey, listen, here's what you need to do. This is what you need to fix. You know, you need to get this right." And so he said, "Yeah, I listen. You know, when mom talks, I listen." And then he goes off for 174 yards against the Cowboys, you know, including a 69-yard run. And then unfortunately, you know, he got hurt against the Seahawks last week, or I should say now a week and a half ago, in week 7. And, you know, his numbers improved as the game went on, but then he got the second half injury. And, you know, like you said, it's amazing that he's just questionable at this point this week, because when he initially was hurt in week 7 after the Seattle game, they weren't sure what they were dealing with. There was a hope that it wouldn't be season ending. And then it turned out it wasn't going to be season ending, but he was going to miss several weeks. And now it's to the point where he's considered day to day. And they say it's unlikely he'll play this week, but he's still listed as questionable. So if he doesn't play this week against Miami, he definitely will next week against Buffalo. And it's sounding like, so, I mean, that's good. And, you know, he's at 512 yards rushing, so he's got 4 TDs. So he's doing what he needs to do to complement the running game at this point.
And obviously, if Kenyon Drake doesn't play, then we're going to see a lot of Chase Edmonds at running back, who's definitely filled in admirably in his place as a backup.
Well, the thing with Edmonds is, what's great about him, he's more of a versatile back than Drake is. Yeah, because Edmonds is not only a danger in the running game, the kid can catch the ball and run with it too at that point. So he also makes for a good receiver.
Sure, sure, absolutely. Looking at the wide receiver spot, two questions here is, number one, how shocked were you in the offseason when the Cardinals were able to pull a trade of, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was David Johnson in a fourth rounder for Hopkins in a second. I'm not sure if I have that exactly right, but to me, it was one of the most shocking trades that I've ever seen on there.
Yeah.
Was it the same way for you?
Well, it was okay. So it wasn't a surprise to see David Johnson shipped, and I'm glad they found David Johnson on the team, because, you know, I think he deserved another chance somewhere else. I know fans grew sour on him real quick. And I know he kind of fell out of favor with Kingsbury at the end of the season last year. He's a really good dude, and, you know, the injuries really, really set him back. You know, thought he'd have a long, good career here, but I mean, let's be honest, Arizona won that trade hands down. They fleeced Houston at that point. I don't think there's any other way to look at it. You know, certainly everybody's shocked that, you know, despite the money that Hopkins was asking for, nobody ever thought that he'd get traded, especially to a team like the Cardinals, for a guy like David Johnson, and then a couple of picks were involved. So, and go look at the numbers between those two, and Arizona is clearly winning that still at this point. Hopkins is one of the top receivers in the league this year. So,
yeah, and he's got over 700 yards. And I noticed that after that, the Cardinals don't have a player on the roster with over, I think, 275 receiving yards on there. But they do have a lot of depth. So after Hopkins, you've got the great Larry Fitzgerald kind of playing that Jerry Rice mentor type later in his career. Would you say he's the second biggest threat there, or do you think Christian Kirk has overtaken that role?
I think Fitzgerald is definitely still a threat. I think there isn't as much of a chance to – there isn't as much of a direction to get him the ball more. I mean, they're trying to feed him at least once a game so he can continue his consecutive streak. There's been a couple of games – I think there was one game this year where he had one catch for no yards, but he got his catch. And, you know, what are you going to do at that point, right? So – yeah, it's been more of an active effort to get everybody else involved. And Fitz did get a few catches against Seattle last week, and then had, you know, it was targeted definitely more than he was the week before. But yeah, he hasn't scored a touchdown yet this year. And he's the one that has 207 yards. He's only caught 29 balls so far this year. But yeah, I think part of it is, you know, as long as Christian Kirk is healthy, which has, again, been an issue, then I think Christian Kirk, he's turning into that number two receiver. And he's got a great rapport with Kyler Murray. You know, I think the country got to see what Kirk could do the last 2 weeks versus Dallas and versus Seattle. And as long as he stays healthy, then, yeah, I don't think there's any reason why Kirk isn't going to be the number two going forward as long as Hopkins is here.
Yeah, and that there should be a good matchup there with DeAndre Hopkins and Christian Kirk against Xavien Howard and Byron Jones. Should be one of the best matchups in this game with the Dolphins and the Cardinals. We're joined here by Scott Allen from the Raising Zona website on the Fansided Network. Be sure to go over there and take a look at that. Continuing with this matchup here, the offensive line here, Scott, you talked about Josh Rosen a few years ago and how he got killed. I remember specifically that year that I think Arizona had all five offensive linemen go on IR that year, which I'd never seen before. Then, believe it or not, he came to Miami and their offensive line was worse. So I know that they've really put a lot of pieces back together. DJ Humphreys at left tackle, the former first rounder, seems to get better every year. He was rewarded with a contract extension. You know, pass protection against this Dolphins defense is a very big deal. So how would you address kind of the strengths and the weaknesses of that offensive line today?
Well, as far as the Cardinals offensive line, again, I mean, I think part of it's Murray, but you know, the fact that they've only given up 9 sacks so far is just, to me, is amazing. And they had the big, you hit it on the head, injuries. The offensive line hasn't been able to stay healthy. I mean, when they've been healthy, they have been great, but you need to be there in the first place. And between DJ Humphreys and Justin Pugh and Mason Cole, those three guys have missed a number of games the past couple of years. They or at least have been, if they've been playing, they haven't been 100%. They've been dealing, you know, especially DJ Humphreys, you know, I think he's finally starting to show that potential that everybody thought and hoped he had a couple of years ago. You know, Justin Pugh's been strong. Mason Cole's been strong on center. And now they're really high on Justin Murray over at right guard. And then Kevin Beachum, who they have on the right tackle, also it has played really well. And then the guys behind them, guys like Joshua Miles, Josh Jones, who I know they're very high on. And I know that they talked a bit about him on the national broadcast on NBC a couple weeks ago. The Cardinals do like him, and you know that he's a rookie and he's going to eventually be the starter. You know, I think right now they've got a nice offensive line that's helping protect, you know, Murray, and you know, it doesn't the numbers look better when you got Murray scrambling around out there that can avoid some of these sacks. But I tell you what, it looks a lot better this year than it has the past couple of years, for sure.
Yeah, I've noticed that when I was looking at tape of them. And Josh Jones is a player that I wanted for the Dolphins. Really, at the end of the first round, he oddly fell to the middle of the third round. So I'm glad to hear he's going to be that kind of heir apparent for Kelvin Beachum, who was with the Jets for a long time there. On the defensive side of the ball there, Scott, I mean, obviously the biggest news, you know, for the Cardinals this year has been the absence of Chandler Jones. I mean, 61 sacks with the Arizona Cardinals since he joined the team in 2016. How has Arizona replaced that pass rush production from Chandler Jones throughout the last few weeks?
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. Chandler Jones wasn't getting the sacks even before he got hurt. You know, he got hurt, obviously it was early. He got hurt in the Jets game. It was only game 4 of the season. So he got his bicep injury. So he only had 1 sack up to that point. But just having the mere presence of Chandler Jones can be distracting for any offense and any quarterback. I think it's more of a – I hate to use the word by committee, but it's almost kind of been – how it's been but I think we've seen a couple of people that have stepped up since he's gone out. One of those names is Hassan Reddick. You know, he an outside linebacker. They've really had a tough time trying to find a good fit for him. And the first season or two, he was kind of in the doghouse because he wasn't turning, you know, first round draft pick. He's number 13 pick in the draft, and he hasn't really played like it his first couple of years. But over the past year or so, he's really started to improve week by week. And, you know, now the kid looked great in overtime against Seattle. And I think they have finally found a home for him where he can thrive. Certainly, another guy that has played very well, at linebacker is Devondre Campbell. He's been a great pickup. They've had some issues with injuries on the offensive line. You know, Jordan Phillips has been kind of hurt off and on. This week, it's going to be very exciting to see what their new addition to the team. They got Marcus Golden back from the New York Giants in a trade last week. Marcus Golden couldn't play Seattle because of the COVID restrictions. The process of coming to a new team. So he's here now finally. He'll start this week from everything I've seen against Miami. It'll be very interesting to see how he does, you know, because he had 12 sacks in his first season here with the Cardinals. So before he ended up having an ACL injury that put him out for the season a couple of years ago. And then he left as a free agent. The Cardinals let him leave. So it is exciting to see him back.
Sure. And Jordan Phillips, you said off and on. I mean, I think that should be the nickname of his entire career, especially when he's here in Miami. I mean, yeah. I swear the guy, when he was here, and I know he's improved, he's become a better football player. He had, I think, 10 and a half sacks last year for Buffalo before he came to Arizona. But when he was here in Miami, I'll tell you, he would just destroy two drives a game, and then he would completely fall off the face of the earth. I saw last week that he only played 27 snaps, 2 weeks ago against Seattle, only played 27 snaps. What's kind of been the reaction to Jordan Phillips so far?
I think the jury's still out, to be honest. I mean, at this point, we've had a 7-game sample, and he's been able to play in all 7, but he hasn't been at full strength. He's had these injuries. He's been on the injury report several times. He's got 2 sacks. I couldn't remember what his number was. So I actually just looked it up. He's got 2 sacks right now. I think we're still trying to feel it out here. Certainly he was a name, and obviously you mentioned what he did for Buffalo last year, and that was certainly, I know Cardinals fans were looking forward to seeing if he could produce that here. And now, especially with the absence of Chandler Jones, is that a number that he can come close to producing again? I mean, he's still got 9 more games left this year. So yeah, he could still produce that in the end. I guess it remains to be seen.
You know, defensively, I'm going back to Hassan Reddick. I'm glad that this guy has found a home getting after the quarterback in Chandler Jones's absence. I mean, 5 sacks on the year. But I can't help but think here, looking at the Cardinals' first-round picks, Isaiah Simmons, Hassan Reddick, Deonte Buchanan, are you ever fed up with them drafting these linebackers who are good at 19 things but can't actually do one thing from a year-to-year basis?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Buchanan was a little bit of a, he was a little bit of a surprise to start with. I'm a Pac-12 guy. I'm out west. So, Dean Buchanan, not knowing a whole lot of him, when he was up at Washington State, but when they drafted him. But he's a hard hitter. I love the way he played his first year or two. And then he kind of fell off the face of the earth, and we haven't heard much from him since. I know that he was trying to get on in Tampa when BA went over there, and
yeah, he's with the Falcons practice squad. I think he just got cut.
Is that where he is now? I honestly didn't even know where he had landed at this point. So,
yeah, I think he just got cut. So I think he's bouncing around a lot. But yeah, and I say that kind of in jest. So I'm getting really more to Isaiah Simmons there. He had that overtime interception against Seattle,
and that was
pretty bad throw.
Probably bad throw. Well, it's a great play on his part he knew exactly where Simmons was, Russell Wilson was going with that pass. I mean, that was really the first play he's made. I mean, because he's not getting a lot of snaps every game. So I think he'd only had a handful of snaps in the game up to that point. I think he's one, again, they're trying to figure out where he fits. He's one of those guys that came in with that tag of being versatile and being able to move all over the field. Okay, well, that was on the college game at Clemson. It's a different game. And I think Kingsbury's even mentioned it. They said, the lack of having an off season with COVID and not being able to have all the OTAs and camps and missing all that time, and then obviously having amounted to maybe a shorter training camp, he just didn't have the reps. And sure. I think, it's hurt a lot of the rookies. I mean, it's not just a problem that's just exclusive to Simmons, but I think it's a, But I think when you come in with being such a high pick, especially on the defensive side, yeah, the expectations are going to be great. And so you kind of got to look at it. Okay, I think they're just trying to feel it out right now with him, see where he's going. I do think his snap count will greatly improve as time goes along over the next 2 months in the remaining part of the season. And then we may see next season what we really expect to see out of Simmons this season. Hopefully there is some kind of off-season schedule this year. So, that being said. But, yeah, I think we may have just seen the beginning, finally, of what Simmons can provide based on what he did there at the end of the Seattle game.
Yeah, he was fun to watch at Clemson, and he played all over the place. I mean, and I saw him so many times in that really giant free safety look, and now he's adjusting to, being a 3-4 linebacker. So he's a phenomenal athlete. I'm sure with some reps, he's going to get on the field a lot and make a big impact. At defensive back there, Scott, more household names. I mean, Patrick Peterson, future Hall of Famer. Buda Baker is turning into and has been really one of the best safeties in the league over the last couple of years. They're going to miss Byron Murphy in this game. You know, he was a first pick of the second round here, not this past year, but the year before. Do you see that being a big loss there?
Yeah, I mean, Byron Murphy is a guy that, he's going to be missed this week for sure. He's just a second year guy. He still hasn't been consistent, but he has definitely made plays. I love him. I love the way he plays. He plays hard. The kid is smart. I think this week they'll miss him. Definitely. You just hope guys like, Drake Kirkpatrick can pick it up. He's had a kind of a tough game against Seattle. I know some people are looking towards Kevin Peterson coming in playing well. Even Patrick Peterson's kind of been off and on so far this season. So, mm-hmm. It's good. I don't know what quite to expect this week. I do think he'll be missed. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that he's not a difference maker at this point, but I do think his presence, I think teams are starting to learn what he can do against them. Sitting there at the cornerback spot, I think the safety spot is something to more look at. I mean, you mentioned it and had Buda Baker, guy's becoming a star, and he is just getting, I mean, if it's possible, he's getting better and better every week. And I think that's where the difference could become, it could be made there in the defensive secondary.
Yeah, he reminds me of a player that I think would have been a great player in the league, Bob Sanders, back with the Colts, who won Defensive Player of the Year in 2006, but just could never stay healthy. Buda Baker is all over the field. He's undersized, but doesn't play like it. He's somebody that just based on his size and his speed profile and his ability to sniff out plays, somebody you don't see week to week bringing those rare skills to the table. So, Scott, taking a look at this matchup here, Cardinals having a very good year at 5-2, really could start to challenge the Seahawks in this one of the best divisions in the league, and they beat them here a couple of weeks ago in their last game. What do you think the Cardinals need to do to pull out a win over the Dolphins here?
Don't do what the Rams did. Don't make mistakes. Don't turn the ball over. I know the Rams were able to finally move the ball a little bit, once they made their mistakes and fell behind, it was too late for the Rams to come back. And I think the Cardinals are the same way. I mean, I think, they're going to have to play mistake-free football. They can't make stupid mistakes. They can't throw dumb interceptions. They have to protect the ball. Tua's only going to be starting his second game, but, the kid wasn't a first round pick for nothing. So, he's going to eventually know his way around, and hey, look at the Dolphins. The Dolphins are 2-1 against the NFC East this year. So, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I had to think about it. Almost they haven't played Seattle tough in the game that they lost. So they're not a pushover like they used to be. I mean, so
yeah.
Hopefully the Cardinals have learned that. I've seen a couple of people think that this might end up being a trap game. I've seen that term being used this week. And I kind of put a stop to say, well, I mean, look, I don't know how it could be a trap game at this point. They should know what Miami's capable of doing. They just go watch them. I mean, they played Seattle close. They almost beat Buffalo, and they figured it out against the 49ers, and they figured it out against the Rams, although it was more of a defensive effort at that point. And special teams played well last week. I mean, that's something to account for as well. Miami can get you in multiple spots.
Yeah, and if you want to know our opinion on Tua so far after one game, it's I don't know. I mean, he was 12 for 23 for 96 yards last week,
yeah.
Very simply because in the second quarter, the Dolphins had a defensive touchdown, a special teams touchdown,
right.
And they returned the ball to the one-yard line on defense on a turnover all in the second quarter. So by the time Tua got the ball in his hands, it was his job to hand it off. Kill the clock.
You're not asking much for him at that point. So, you don't
exactly
want to overwhelm
right.
him. And it was a great position for him to be in. So,
yeah, you bet. And I think, too, that what's different in this game compared to the last two NFC West opponents the Dolphins have played, you know, the 49ers and the Rams, is I see Kyler Murray as a quarterback that can control the game a lot better. Because he has the ability to beat you with his arms and his legs. Where the biggest thing against Garoppolo and Jared Goff is that the Dolphins' pass rush has been so on lately, they've been able to tee off on those quarterbacks, rattle them early, get ahead, create turnovers. Even though Murray's thrown 7 picks this year, that's not an incredibly high amount. And I think I don't see them teeing off on Murray the same way they did on Goff and Garoppolo.
Yeah, I mean, they're different quarterbacks. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. The one thing I just worry about is, yeah, I mean, when things tend to go against the Cardinals, sometimes it becomes a rolling effect. And I know that happens to other teams too, but the Cardinals more so. So you just hope that, hey, one mistake doesn't turn into two. And then all of a sudden it gets to the point where you've made so many mistakes and that you can't come back from it. So, I think both teams will, have very good defenses. I think both teams will also be able to move the ball down the field. You know, the Cardinals defense, they put up good numbers, but I mean, they gave up almost 400 yards of offense in the first half to Seattle last week. Shut them down pretty good in the second half in overtime. But so they have to have a good game plan coming in, or you know, even a guy like Tua, as inexperienced as he is in the NFL. He might be able to even put some points up. And I know you guys got dangerous receivers. So, so hopefully they don't sleep on them. And, they studied up very well this week on a video from any tape that they get from the Miami games. And, I think if you're an NFL fan, you're looking forward to this matchup.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an exciting game. So given that, Scott, what is your score prediction for this Sunday between the Dolphins and the Cardinals?
Well, you're the first one to ask, and I really honestly hadn't put much thought to it. And at this point, I almost don't even consider home field an advantage with no – well, okay. So very few fans. Obviously, you're not having a packed 70,000-person stadium. Cardinals are letting 4,200 people in this week. They just had the lottery the last couple of days for their season ticket holders to get tickets. And, you know, half of them are already on sale on places like SeatGeek and StubHub. So, but,
got it.
You know, yeah. But so anyways, it's been one of the more tougher ones just because I've seen how Miami's played. The Cardinals are coming off a bye, and you know they're only so far that I'm aware of their biggest injuries aren't really injuries, real illnesses. They're going to miss Kennard and Murphy on the defense because they're out because of COVID. other than that, I think there, and obviously Drake is a questionable, but I don't think anybody here is expecting him to play. So, you know, but they can use Murray, they can use Edmonds in the running game. So I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to come down to whoever makes the fewest mistakes. I mean, sometimes you can make more mistakes and win. I don't think Miami's a team that the Cardinals can do that against. You know, so I'll just go out on a limb, and I'm going to say the Cardinals will win 31-28.
There you have it. And we really appreciate Scott Allen from Raising Zona. You be sure to go over on the Fansided Network and check out his site. You could also follow him at AZ Sports Guy on his Twitter handle as well. Thanks for joining us here, Scott. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
And that will do it for our breakdown of the Dolphins-Cardinals game, taking a look at the opposing sideline at the Arizona Cardinals. I'm Brian Catt, NFL on Twitter, Paulus Fanatic underscore pick. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the fin side. So, Ladeed, take us out.
It ain't the left side or the right side, then it must be the fin side.
Fin side.
It ain't the left side or the right side, then it must be the fin side.
Listen,
Dolphins fans across the land all tuning in to see what Brian Catt and Paul about to do again.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.